Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. This first hour is being sponsored tonight by Margaret Giacopelli. Thank you, Margaret. Margaret Giacopelli. I think I'm saying that right. Yeah. I don't have anything real snappy for the program this evening. I was pretty much blown away, as bad choice of words. I was pretty much shocked by the news out of Aurora, Colorado this morning. I don't know what to say about it. I really don't. I've been checking email. I've gotten a few people have written about it. Most of it pretty much in the same general vein. How many more of these until this country adopts a program of gun registration or gun confiscation? Although that word didn't come up. But at least making it more difficult for people to arm themselves to the extent that these shooters always arm themselves. Now, of course, the availability of guns is the problem here. And also, it's a cultural thing. I don't think anyone would disagree that this country is so violent. We are so violent in the way we react with the rest of the world. When information comes out that we torture people, that we assassinate people, that we execute people on the whim of a presidential order, whether it's known, as in the case of Obama, or unknown, as in the case of Cheney, Bush, you know, there's just so much violence. And I'm not talking about violence in the movies or violence in the comic books or violence on television. I'm talking about honest to God real violence. This country always has been extraordinarily violent. Almost categorized by the amount of violence that occurs in this country. And I'm relatively certain there have been lengthy sociological studies done on why, you know, why us? Why is this culture, this society, so violent and so prone toward criminality and things wrong? Evil, if you will, although I don't believe in evil. Violence is the word I'm thinking about. Violence. You know, when you take a look at our prison system, and in so many instances, the violence there is the violence committed against people who, the violence is the incarceration to begin with. We've talked many times about the privatization of everything in this country, up to and including our right to vote and how the votes are tallied and counted and taken. And the prison industrial complex is one of those businesses growing very quietly, like colon cancer. You know, you don't know it till you start passing blood. And the prison industrial complex is just getting to the point where it is demanding more bodies into the system for it to make a profit. I mean, come on, it's capitalism. They have to make a profit. We now have more people in our criminal justice system than any other population on Earth. We have more people numerically locked up than any other population on Earth, and we have more people as a percentage of our general population locked up than any other people on Earth. You know, this Christian nation, so-called. So, while I'm sure there have been many, many, many deep studies about this, and I'm sure they're easily available online to read, I'm sure they're quite academic and very explanatory, and some of them will be written for the professionals, and some of them will be written for you and me in terms of language. And but it still doesn't answer it for me. And when a shooting like this occurs, after the initial shock, for me, within a couple of hours, then I start to wonder where and when and how bloody will the next one be. That's all I think about anymore when something like this comes up. I don't think, well, this will be the event that triggers laws to bring this madness under control. And then, of course, within a few hours or a couple of days, the gun nuts in this country, whether it's the NRA or Gun Owners of America or whoever, they start their propaganda. They start their snide, nasty comments. This representative from Texas, what the hell's his name, was one of the first out of the box with one of those comments that you're bound to hear. Well, somebody in that theater would have been armed. You mean nobody in that theater was armed? Well, they could have taken out the psychopath. You know, even the language. You know, these people who have no idea how a gun works or what motivates people to kill or anything of the sort. You know, trying to use big boy talk. Tried to use language. Gomer Pyle, that was his name. Now, what's his first name? Gohmert. Representative Gohmert from Texas. And then you start hearing all the commentators, and of course the TV, the cable television networks go for this kind of stuff like a vulture goes for dead meat in the middle of the desert. They just swoop down. Hour after hour after hour. Louis Gohmert. Hour after hour after hour. Using the same interviews, the same videotapes, the same scenes at the theater, in this case, the same shock and pain and horror that the families now will have to experience because of this crazed individual who had no problem getting the kind of weaponry that you would expect to find on someone who is in combat. In a combat zone. I can't understand it. I don't know what it is. I don't think there's anybody who, who tries to understand this on a rational or logical basis has really put out a reason. I know insanity, madness. They're inspired by people like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh to commit these acts. Sorry, I had to sneeze there. They're inspired by these right-wing hate talkers to commit these acts of violence. And anyone who says that's not the case is crazy. They're another right-winger. You know, when you have groups like the Boy Scouts saying, we're not going to allow people who happen to be gay into our precious organization, when you find out that drone aircraft are flying around in Afghanistan or Pakistan executing people, you know, all this just kind of washes together, doesn't it? And comes up with the kind of ultra-violence that is really getting to be too much for me. We're going to open up the lines very early tonight. Matter of fact, right now, if you have something to say, give us a call, 877-996-2556. Why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? Forgetting where we've come from and all of it. 21 past the hour. Oh, hello. Marie is in Lee Summit, Missouri, listening online. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Mike. It's been a long time since I've called in. So I just wanted to just call in on tonight's show and make a comment about what happened today. I'm feeling the same way you do. Even my 17-year-old son said something that was really enlightening today. He said that the first thing you'll hear, usually about after some mass shooting, are the Republicans that say, this is exactly why we must all be armed. Yeah. And I was like, that's exactly right. That's what they will say. But he proposes and he says that what we should do is, you know, enforce some sort of psychological test. I mean, it doesn't matter whether anyone has a clear history with no, you know, criminal past. It's easy to obtain a gun. Mm-hmm. And we know this. And that bothers me. And the other thing that bothers me is just the other day, they announced on the news about some a needle in turkey meat on an airplane, and yeah. This is possibly terrorism. And of course, the minute this happens, they assume, oh, well, maybe this guy was involved with a Al-Qaeda group of some sort, or some sort of Muslim group. And I'm just sick of it. I'm like, no, I bet money he's a white guy, and he, and you know, obviously, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know where to go.
I don't either. I don't either. It's the kind of violence when it comes out like this in a theater with 70 people shot, 12 of them dead. It's the kind of violence that is, I mean, there's no rational framework to put that into. There's no irrational framework. It's almost like it's from a different, I don't know, a different planet, the feeling that I get, especially then when you see the faces of the people who had relatives or family members in that theater. This time it's a theater. It can be on a university campus. It can be on a military base in Texas. It can be at a high school. I mean, Jesus God, then you see the faces of the people who are screaming, have you seen my son? Have you seen my daughter? Please help me. And then, you know, and then they find out that someone who went to see a movie is now dead.
Right. I'm, the other thing that just bothers me is, you know, I don't like guns. I'm definitely, you know, but the logical side of me says, you know, we've had guns for eons. I mean, you know, but it's not up until the last 40 years, 30, 40 years or so, that this has become this. Almost every year, there is a mass murder of some sort. Every year. And
well, don't you think it's more frequent than that? It's more than just every year, isn't it? I mean, it seems like it's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, we hear about, what was it, in Texas a couple months ago? There was a disgruntled family member. You know, mm-hmm. We hear about those. Yes, they are. They are more frequent, of course. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, the last one that I recall that was so many people was in Arizona with Representative
Giffords.
Sorry, I can't remember her name. Yes, that's right, Giffords.
Gabby Giffords.
But yes, I mean, we've had, and here's another thing nobody even thinks about. You've got your projects in big cities like LA, you know, like where you've had street gang violence, where they've lived through this before, where they see shooting up and down the street, you know, and we used to hear about it all the time, I know, in the 80s and 90s, but we don't hear about it so much anymore, but you know it still goes on. You hear about it. So, yeah, it's everywhere, and it just seems to, at some point, it gets shuffled under the carpet until another big one happens.
Yeah.
And again, we're you know, left to to the same square, the same first square where we originally start with it, which is, why does this happen? And of course, they're always looking at things like, oh, it's video games. Oh, it's the movie. Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's more than just how accessible guns are, but it's a bigger issue in our society that I think there are so many things and factors. Capitalism, you know, the pressure for people to be successful. I mean, this young man, he may have been pressured to be the successful PhD student, and he snapped. And I think that a lot of young folks today do snap because they have this pressure to, oh, you're an American, you must prove yourself, you must, you know, be successful, you must be a person, a somebody.
Well, I think what we're going to try to do tonight, Maria, is kind of stumble around and see if we can get some answer to this. I got to make way for a break here. Listen, thank you so much. I appreciate your insight. Okay?
Take care, Mike.
All right, you too. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm on the right side.
Radio Right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Margaret Giacopelli. Thank you, Margaret. You know, when you think about an incident like that, the one that we're talking about that occurred last night around midnight, or this morning around midnight. And you consider the 71 people shot, 12 of whom are dead. And then step back from that, if it's possible. Step back from that and try to find perspective. How many, what have we read about how many people in this country die every year? You could say they are killed every year by our corporate system because they lack health care. Now, I realize I'm starting to mush up the topic a bit here, but the tragedy of 12 people dying last night at midnight is indeed a tragedy. There is no question. It's horrifying. Had one of those dead been my daughter or my wife or my son, I would be at this point inconsolable. But since it wasn't someone to whom I'm directly connected, I have cold, objective perspective on some of it, including the question as to why an incident like this that leaves 12 dead is so shocking and horrifying that it's given wall-to-wall coverage all day. It becomes the focal point of the news on the cable systems, on the broadcast systems, and yet if a news organization were to devote, say MSNBC, were to devote as much time as they did today to this shooting, to the number of deaths that are caused because people don't have health insurance, which is another form of murder. It isn't with a bullet. It isn't with a tear gas canister. It's from the lack of care, the lack of a procedure or medical intervention. But we don't talk about. We talk about it occasionally, But that's just part of the violence of this society. I mean, how many people, well, what's the number? 100, 200, 800,000? How many people die? How many people die from diseases picked up in hospitals? Or how many deaths are caused by the improper use of pharmaceutical products? How many people die of heart attacks because Big Pharma has convinced them, you know, you take this pill and it'll really knock out your headache. Of course, it'll just goddamn rip your heart into a million little suffocating red corpuscles. But so what? We're going to make money on it. And when we get caught, we're going to pay a fine. It's going to be price of doing business. See, this is where I get horrifically hung up. The people who watch their family members die because they're taking medicine that the pharmaceutical companies know will kill a certain number of the people, a certain percentage of the people who take it will goddamn die. They know this, and they still put it out there. So when a shooting in a theater occurs and 12 people die, and it's horrifying and it's awful, and you know, we try to figure out the whys and the wherefores, and that's legitimate. That's the way it should be. But on the other hand, we just ignore the 100,000 people a year that die because they can't get medical care. I mean, what is that? What is that? The phone number is 877-996-2556 if you want to call in. Gary is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Couple of things. First of all, it's like, you know, I guess I'm really not surprised about this, because just like yesterday I was reading some stupid thing about a guy in California shot his son because of he didn't like the way he sang at karaoke. So somebody going in and doing something that's already been done before doesn't shock me too much. But one thing that was interesting was, I don't know if you heard about this, there was one of the people that got killed was a 24-year-old woman, and she was up in Toronto last month, and I guess there was some kind of shooting up there.
Yeah.
And she was saying, oh, well, you know, you have to take life.
Where did you go? Gary?
Hear me?
There you are. Okay, go ahead. You were talking about the woman who witnessed the shooting in Toronto and talked about how precious life is, and now she got involved in this one today, right?
Yeah, she was talking about it, and then she comes home and gets shot, and I'm thinking, one thing I thought was, well, you know, when that stuff kind of goes off in Canada, which is much less frequently, they're not running around talking about, you know, oh, we need more guns, we need to do this, we need to do that. And then the other thing is, you know, you always get the Second Amendment people that call up the shows, and it's always like, I've never brought this up before, but I always think, okay, it's usually conservative people, and they're always talking about the Second Amendment and how things need to be strictly taken in that constitutional context. Well, if you look at the actual amendment, it says in a militia. So, you know what I mean? It's always like, That stupid argument.
Yeah.
And I understand what you say about the healthcare thing, and that's kind of the way I feel about the homeless thing too. It's just like there's so much going on here that you can get killed from, you know, and then the gun thing. I mean, it's just like,
Well, it, you know, and Gary, thanks. I appreciate your checking in. Many ways that we create or permit violence against ourselves and each other every single day in this country is stunning. It's just stupefying. I mean, it's indescribable. It's hard to talk about the various ways that we commit violence against each other. And the way violence is advocated, whether it is by people like Len Beck and Rush Limbaugh, who have been advocating violence against people who can't defend themselves or people they disagree with for years. And they'll continue. They'll never stop. And the point with advocating violence by just constantly advocating violence is eventually your message reaches the ears of people who don't understand that you're doing it for money and which is not to say you don't really want violence. I think these right-wing talk show hosts do want violence. They want to see it. They want it to happen. But the people that they finally reach and inspire to commit acts, not unlike what occurred last night, eventually snap. The whole atmosphere of this country is saturated with violence. Whether it is the violence of fundamental religion, and it doesn't make any difference. The three religions of the book, or the three people of the book, the Abrahamic religions, are the most violent concepts ever put together by the human mind. I mean, it's just they're saturated with violence. Their foundation is violence. And murder and mayhem and destruction and total disregard for human life. Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all of them, they are just violent. They're just blood-soaked beyond belief. And when people are taught this, they're wired into this, and then they're wired into an economic system that is equally violent, just violent beyond belief, violent domestically, violent in foreign countries, and that is capitalism. And then the capitalism itself teaches violence, the kind of violence that says, you are no good. I want the money. Give me the money. I will take the money. I will take the health care. You don't get any because you're fill in the blank. It can be a racial difference, a gender difference, a cultural difference, whatever it is. I will come to your country and kill all of you and take your bananas. I will kill all of you and take your oil. I will kill all of you and take your rubber trees. I will kill all of you and take anything that I want to take out of your country. I mean, this is, I will bring millions of you over here and work you as slaves until I kill you. I will invade this country and kill all the indigenous people, all of them. I will slaughter them because I want this country. I mean, please. Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Margaret Giacopelli. Thank you, Margaret. A couple of emails real quick. If you're on hold and I don't get to you before the break at the top of the hour, please stay. We'd like you to hear from you tonight. From Glenn in Omaha, to the Texas congressman who thinks that an armed person could have stopped the shooter in the theater. First of all, it was dark and the shooter set off a gas smoke bomb. Now, if the person could have seen the shooter and got a shot of the shooter was wearing a complete bulletproof suit, he would have been unharmed. Oh, I see. What would happen is that the citizen would have fired his gun and the round would have gone through the thin wall of the theater and hit an innocent person. Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And as far as Gohmert, Louis Gohmert, that's not all he said. He was on some radio program, the Heritage Foundation's Istook Live. That's Ernest Istook, is the host. And Gohmert, who is a teabag congressman from Texas, began talking about ongoing attacks on Christian Judeo beliefs when he was asked about the shooting this morning. And later in the morning, later in the program, he seemed to blame atheists for violence. This is Ernest Eistook, the host. What was your experience as a judge when you're on the bench? This is Congressman Louis Gohmert. When you're on the bench, what was your experience with people who had mental issues that were involved in crimes of violence? Gohmert. Well, it's always a problem, and there are some people who require medication. But, you know, I might mention something else that hasn't been public yet. Most of us that follow the military, love the military, know that we have had an extraordinary increase in suicide rates in the military, and it's just heartbreaking. There was a study commissioned, 6,000 personal of index profiles, and what they found, and I don't know if they'll make it public, but all of the people who have committed suicide within their 2% studied were part of their 2% most atheistic members of the military. We've lost our faith. What? Now, that guy's a member of Congress. Oh, well, never mind. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, guns don't kill people. Atheists kill people.
Of course.
But, you know, why not go a step farther? Why not arm the ticket takers? And that way, anybody
in the movie theater,
yeah, you know, forget, you know, once you're in the dark theater and the tear gas goes off, you're kind of screwed. Or once you're in the schoolroom the other, you know, whenever that was, and was it the former Soviet Union, and they threw in the tear gas, whatever,
yeah,
but you're screwed. You need to get the ticket takers,
yeah,
you know, they can just, sure, you know, preemptive strike,
shoot them.
I mean, the guy looked like a freak, apparently.
Yeah, he was all dressed up in, I guess, semi-military or major market police gear. I don't know. From Bob Kincaid, Mike, I learned tonight that earlier in the day, Melissa Harris Perry, a darling of us liberals, was promoting her appearance, filling in for Rachel on MSNBC. In a tweet, she said she would focus on the importance of faith or some such drivel during the show. I was rendered speechless. If we liberals or progressives or whatever we are want that sort of drivel, we can go to Fox or Pat Robertson or Joel Osteen. Faith? How about the importance of trying to find a way to let teenagers who go to a midnight movie see the damned dawn? We in this blood-sodden country are engaged in a dance macabre. All we're missing are the grotesque masks. Maybe in the modern world, we've swapped them for flashy TV graphics that shout, Massacre in Colorado and Movie Theater Tragedy! And the NRA tweeted this morning, Morning shooters, happy Friday, any weekend plans? Thanks in large part to the NRA. 12 people have no plans at all anymore. 59 others have had their plans altered for whatever remains of their lives. And 2 days ago, Willard Romney declared, We won't let the UN take away our Second Amendment rights. We fought a war for freedom and independence. How free are the Aurora 12, Willard? How independent is a person who will spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair, Willard? Signed, Bob. The other Bob. Yeah. It just leaves me with a feeling of disconnectedness. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. When I was a kid, and a younger person, but mostly kid, I always felt like, there are certain things I had to do, and then I would gain admission into, well, I can say as an adult now, I'd gain admission into this society. At the time, I didn't know what I meant. I just knew that I had to do certain things. They had to be good things. They had to be certain things to gain admission You know, it might have been go to church. It might have been do well in school. It might have been don't lie. Don't beat up on a kid in a neighborhood who's smaller than you. Make sure you take your vitamins. I don't know what it was, but there's a whole list of things that I felt, you know, and this will make me connected. This will make me part of, and I didn't know at the time, this will make me part of this society. And again, I didn't think in those terms, but I knew I wanted that there was something that I wanted to be part of, that I had to do certain things. And it was right outside my grasp. And I just had to just keep doing things that were right and someday I'd be included. And now, all I want to find is a goddamn exit door. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting the point. I don't want any part of this at all. Not a bit. And I just find that sad. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of sad. That's all.
This is a referral.
The hour, because of the shooting early this morning, I'm just not in the mood to do podcast trivia tonight. We'll do two of them next week. This hour is sponsored by Gary and Gaia Quay. Gary and Gaia, thank you very much, Gary and Gaia. You know, we're talking about back to the calls. Jim is in Burlingame, California. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
All right.
Did you happen to catch the governor of Colorado on the TV a little earlier tonight?
I did not.
Okay. He was saying, I caught it, and he was saying, we can't let this fluke of nature allow us to change our precious rights, meaning, of course, the right to bear arms that can kill people, you know, that quick. And I was saying to Kathy, I kind of remember 19 other flukes of nature, if you believe the story, flying into buildings,
yeah,
and doing some madness. And we kind of changed some of our precious rights, and now the government has, and you've gone through it on your show so many times, they can mine all our emails and our library books that we borrow and everything else. So, and no one ever challenges these clowns. It's just disgusting, right? And also, the young woman you had on earlier talking about maybe the mental state of this guy, the pressure. My daughter is a senior and going in to be a senior in high school this year. And every time I say, hey, my daughter's a senior in high school this coming fall, the parents have gone through it, just look at me and say, oh, God. You know, they feel...
Yeah.
Their kids are under so much pressure. They got to write essays. They visit the colleges. And the application process. And they're hearing, you know, they're picking it up from, you know, the parents about how bad it is out there. For people, they could get a biochemistry degree and still be flipping burgers.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, and that kind of violence, I think, is there also, the violence of unfulfilled expectations. I mean, it's one thing that young people have. I know I did. I was mentioning as the show, the last hour was ending, about mm-hmm. always feeling that at some point I would be granted admission to society. I don't know. Maybe it was admission to adulthood. But I think young people today look at what the generation right before them, what we've done, and how badly we've screwed things up, and the fact that criminal acts are never punished anymore. You can have a president who is literally a war criminal, and, and nobody does anything. You could have another president who literally orders the assassination of people, and nobody does anything. You can have a banking industry that just continues to steal and cheat and lie, and nobody does anything.
Nothing.
So where in the hell are young people and not so young people supposed to get a sense of not just right and wrong, but a sense of justice? Where are we supposed to get it?
They're working at the mall, right?
Yeah.
These stores are selling pants for like $70.
I know.
It cost them $5 or $6 to make and ship here from China, and they're being paid $9.50 an hour out here in the Bay Area, where it's pretty expensive to live.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know, Jim. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, okay?
Okay.
All right, sir. Take care. It's just a piece of a larger quilt of violence and disconnectedness. Really, I mean, I hate to go that route, but what are we going to do? Sit here and talk about somebody who picked up 3 or 4 guns and decided to go kill people? It's just an overarching attitude in this country. That, you know, I want what I want, and I will get what I want. And all of a sudden, the economic system that promised me all this stuff is no longer working for me. So what am I going to do? I'm not saying this guy who did the shooting today felt specifically that. But that's part of the violence. The person today who did the shooting, as massive and monstrous as that tragedy is, especially for the people directly involved, it's just another day in the United States. It's just yawn. I mean, so 12 people were shot dead. I mean, on some days in this country, that many are shot dead on the streets of Chicago or in, you know, some other city. I got an email here. I've been thinking whether or not to share this. I probably shouldn't. But the person who wrote it, he put his name on here in the county. It's on the West Coast. I don't know if anybody monitors email, and we know that they do. This guy may have already been visited today, but this is what it says regarding the mass shooting massacre at the Aurora County movie theater. Here's what I think. Here's what I'd like to see. And this is where the caps begin. It's time for someone with an automatic to walk into NRA headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia. Shoot the place up. Kill as many NRA officials and members as possible and see how they like it. As I see it, there will never be any meaningful gun control legislation or real automatic weapons ban until the National Rifle Association finds out for itself just how destructive and painful their obsession with gun rights has been to the rest of us. IMHO, the NRA is pure, unadulterated evil. Its members are sociopaths, and our society would be a whole lot better off without it and them. Come down off your high horse, NRA officials, and deal with us, or be blown up. You are neither patriots nor Christians. Your time is at hand, and you will certainly deserve what you're going to get in this life or the next. Now, I share that with you because it's that kind of writing, that kind of emotion that scares the hell out of me. So this guy is putting the blame where it rightly belongs for the number of guns and the availability of guns and the ease of availability in this society, the National Rifle Association. But is it really their fault? I mean, they're, as this writer says, they're a bunch of psychopaths and they're cowards. The legislators, the members of Congress who have the power to write laws against this kind of gun ownership. This has nothing to do with Second Amendment. It's become, the NRA has turned it into that kind of an argument. But it is not. It is nothing of the sort. The NRA is run by sociopaths. They are incipient killers. They are cowards. There is no question about that. But they don't write the laws. They exert the pressure. They use threats. If you don't vote the way we tell you to vote, we're going to work ardently for your competitor in the next election and remove you from office. And of course, Republican office holders are all goddamn cowards. But the Democrats, who shake in their boots because some punk from the NRA, some sociopathic punk, tells the Democrat, don't vote that way or we will back someone to unseat you. That's where the real responsibility lies, doesn't it?
It's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Joe is in Los Angeles listening online. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike. Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking our calls tonight.
Oh, sure.
Really appreciate it because... Oh, I've been in the chat room tonight, and people have seen just how burned out I am today because of all the relentless hate that I hear at work. Mike, you know I work for Social Security's 800 number.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working there since Ford was president, and I have never heard the hatred that I hear about Obama. I have never heard the racial slurs run like the dam is broke. Mike, I remember Grandma telling me about this sleazy guy by the name of Father Coughlin back in the 30s.
Right.
And all the garbage that came out of his mouth. But finally, the church said enough was enough. They told him to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. Nobody is telling Rush to shut up. Maybe it's time we hold those who sponsor him liable for what he said.
Well, I wish that were possible.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing about Father Coughlin, NBC at the time had two networks. They had the NBC Red Network, the NBC Blue Network. I don't know what why they were designated that way, but NBC also decided that his anti-Semitism and his pro-Nazi propaganda was enough. You will not find a broadcast network that will rein in this hate speech that has been blanketing this country now for two decades. It's just not there. And why should it be? They make money on it.
And, Mike, it just burns me out. I mean, I was almost to tears today dealing with people saying they were going to kill the president.
Yeah.
And you don't, Mike, I don't want anybody to ever go into that state of mind that I'm in, where I'm trying to call every law enforcement agency to stop them. And, you know, if people accuse me of being favoring only Obama, that's not true. Because I stopped somebody from trying to kill George Bush, George W. Bush. We tracked the guy down. He was on his way to Washington. They opened up the trunk of his car, and it was filled with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try and do my job.
I hear you.
I just try and do my job. And it's, can I just give an example of something that I did
sure.
a couple of weeks ago?
Sure.
Dealing with a person on a payphone. He was at the end of his rope. He didn't have anything. He needed food or something.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 3 hours, Mike, finding him a room to sleep that night and to get him a meal. I called him back at the payphone. I said, you can go here. They've got the room for you. They've got a meal for you. You know what he said at the end of that? He said, I hate how the government interferes with my life. Mike, I told him, I am the government. For the past 3 hours, I interfered with your life to get you food, to get you a place to sleep. And I don't care. You can say whatever you want, but that's my job.
Yeah.
And that's what I try and do every day. Mike, thank you for letting me decompress a little bit. I
sure.
just appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely.
Take care.
All right, Joe. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. I like I said, I always wanted to be a member. But not so sure anymore. You know, Joe's story, I'm sure. My sister, before she died 8 years ago, 7.5 years ago, my sister worked for Social Security. She was, as a matter of fact, she'd been there, Kathy, for years. She was in a supervisory position. And some of the stories that she would tell me, you know, without naming names, of course, but she would tell me about some of the calls that she would get from people and how misinformed they were and how angry they were because the truth, corporate America had left them in such a vulnerable position. And the only place they had left to turn was, quote, to the government, end quote. Whether it was SSI or Social Security or Medicare or you know, whatever it was. And how frustrating my sister used to get because of what was happening. And you know, like I said, this is 7 years ago. I can only imagine what Joe hears on the phone. We'll be right back.
Yesterday, suddenly, there's a shadow hanging over me. I'm not half the man I used to be. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why is she
in the still of the night?
cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Gary and Gaia Quay. Thank you both, Gary and Gaia. Appreciate it. A couple more emails here and then back to your calls. Well, let me do Mac first in the Poconos. He's been holding on for almost an hour. Hey, Mac.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
You ready to hear from an angry Yankee tonight?
Sure, go ahead. Just easy on the language.
We will try our best.
Okay.
I called his Louis Gohmert's office today.
Yeah, oh, you did?
And I spoke with his sickening southern drawl-laden receptionist.
Mm.
And she says, I asked her, when you all gonna secede from the Union? She seemed surprised. She said, I don't know. I said, well, let me help. Secede tomorrow. Get out and take the rest of the South with you. Really? She said, I'll pass it along. I said, yeah, sure you will. You know, I'll tell you something. Nothing's ever going to change in this country as long as we have two countries.
Yeah.
It really needs... I mean, Lincoln was half right. The proclamation was a step in the right direction. But keeping the reptile brain south was a mistake. It was a mistake then, it's a mistake now.
Well, you know, I just got a book in the mail from a publisher. It's called Better Off Without 'Em.
Right.
It's not going to be published for another couple of months. This is an uncorrected proof. And what it is a Northern Manifesto for Southern Secession written by one Chuck Thompson. And it'll be out in August from Simon & Schuster.
Okay.
But the title is Better Off Without 'Em. And just kind of skimming through, and I'll have more to say about this after I've had a chance to read it and maybe even get the author on. But just skimming through the book... Chuck Thompson makes a very cogent argument for a re-secession. You know, I've talked on this program about the United States of America, I think, is going to become the Federated States or the United Federation of America. I really do see at some point, it may not be in my lifetime, it may not be in yours, Mac, but I see at some point... a breaking apart of this union because things have gotten so absolutely polarized that
right.
we can't continue to function, I don't think, as a unified country. We just can't do it. I think it's going to take a while for this to happen, but I can see at least three different federated states, kind of like the old when the Soviet Union broke up, they wound up with the Russian Federation, with three or four states that were part of the old Soviet Union who had a whole different a relationship, but they still had a relationship nonetheless. And I'm beginning to think that would probably make sense in this country. The only problem with it, of course, as soon as there was the Federated States of America, one or two would declare war on the other one, or vice versa. There is so much poison that's been pumped into this country over the past 25 years by right-wing radio and television and recently right-wing websites. I mean, it's just without let-up. It doesn't stop. And if you react to it by trying to fight fire with fire, then, of course, you are immediately labeled as the one
the bad guy.
Putting hatred out there. Right.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've said so many times on this program, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? And to the extent that is adding fuel to the fire, I take responsibility. But I can't. I've never been able to just sit back while someone continues to slap me and punch me and kick me and ruin everything that I believe is decent or good or has the potential for goodness and decency, and just sit there and take it. And I've watched or listened to Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity, and I mean the whole list, this whole chicken coop full of these freaks over the past 25 years just peck at this country and peck at this country, trying to find and succeeding in finding the weak seams in this tapestry that is supposed to be the United States. And they just pick and pick and pick, and it starts to shred and fall apart, and then people are killing each other, and people are screaming about gays, or people are screaming about Muslims, or screaming about Jews, and I'm just sick of it. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with you. There may become a time when, not that you suggested this. I'm just saying I agree with the idea that it might be time for the South, anyway, to get the hell out of the way and let the rest of the country go about the business of being decent humans.
I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have to deal with them? I mean, we could actually have the Constitution and update it so that it actually means something in the real world of today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they keep, and you know, it's not everybody in the South, of course.
No, right? No, but, of course not.
You know, but I mean, that's where it all comes from. I mean, that's, in my mind, it all comes from all the, you know, racism, all the, you know, Bibles and guns. And,
I know.
You know, I mean, it just never ends. I mean, can't we, you know.
Well, the South is the most violent part of the state of the states. It is the least educated. It is the most fundamentally religious. It has the highest murder rate, the highest divorce rate, the highest rate of sexual predation against children, the highest rate of just pick anything negative that you want to pick, and you'll find it in the South. And I think it's because there is a degree of dumbassery in this part of the country that is just astonishing, you know? It's like Mount Everest of dumbassery, and it just doesn't want to seem to go away.
I know. A few years ago, I rode my, I got a motorcycle, a Harley, and I rode the Key West and back, you know, from Pennsylvania here.
Uh-huh.
You know, I stopped in some of the most god-awful places in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Bible thumping, and it's like a swamp down there, you know. And
trust me,
a man can't even get a beer in some of those counties. But you know, they have all these religious whack jobs. I'm like, Jesus, I couldn't ride out of there quick enough. Let me out of here.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Mac, I got to move on, pal. Thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. You're absolutely right on just about everything. Thanks, Mac. Yeah, I live near some of those places. Oh, I've got so many stories from living in the South. Oh, my God. Man. And yet, you know, I have friends here that I've had for, Kathy's a Southerner. So's Molly. So's my son Chris. So's my daughter Wendy. So are all my grandchildren. Whew. How scary is that? But I've spent enough time in cities like Savannah, which is just weird beyond belief. Dothan, Alabama, Cullman, Alabama, Jacksonville, Florida, Valdosta, Georgia. Oh, geez. I mean, I could just go down the list here. Jackson, Mississippi. On and on and on. Towns and cities and rural areas in the South where, you know, I've had to really put on my redneck disguise. And I can do it real well. I mean, Jesus, I've been here for 40 years. 40 years. Well, longer than that, about 45 years. So I can blend in so easy. And, you know, I'm a white male, so I've got that advantage to begin with. But I can turn on the Southern dumbassery in half a heartbeat to the point that it becomes absolutely convincing. Well, you hear it on this program every once in a while, don't you? Here's my favorite song. We'll be right back.
We wouldn't need the police no more because everybody have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Wouldn't it be great?
Was just one of those.
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Gary and Gaia Quay. Thank you, Gary and Gaia. I appreciate it very much. Mark is in San Diego listening online. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mike. I just want to tell you that Dubois said either the U.S. will destroy ignorance or ignorance will destroy the U.S. And I just saw a figure today that five advertising companies control virtually all the upper-level advertising in the country. Mm-hmm. And now how many media outlets do we have? Maybe five or six. So we have this monopoly, and how much manipulation of the thought process of the average American is going on, you know?
Yeah.
And when you read that letter and the guy said about taking action on the NRA, well, if that happens, there will be instant, the next day, there will be martial law in the U.S. None of these events have ever happened, you know, towards mm-hmm. the right wing.
Right.
So when it happened to Gabrielle Giffords, nothing happened. Nothing will happen at this moment except for a giant distraction from the banking malfeasance that will be covered up for weeks now because of this event.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the problem is, and it's always the problem, decent functioning people, the regular people who love their families and go to work, they can't fathom evil on the level that's being perpetrated by people like Limbaugh, when Cheney was in office, and now we have the abject, it seems, cowardice of Eric Holder in the government. You know, I don't think they're particularly evil guys. I think they may be blackmailed into doing what they're not doing, which mm-hmm. is enforcing the laws. But, and the other part is, I saw a movie a few weeks ago, Collateral. I don't have a TV. I don't have a TV, so I'm not subject to that stuff. I watched this movie Collateral. I haven't watched a violent movie in years, and it disturbed me for days. It affected my dreams, and I'm sitting there thinking, kids are completely immersed in these shooter games for years and years. They have seen tens of thousands of people getting blown away in these video games.
Right.
I watched a few days ago because I heard that the Batman movie coming up was so great. The LA Times wrote about it, that it's just really a masterpiece. So I watched the last one, the Dark Knight. and you're just being bludgeoned to a pulp.
That's right.
It's just a complete misuse of humanity's talents. So unless we get a reset, unless we have a chance from somewhere above, someone being eloquent, some leader taking charge of this scenario, we're in trouble, because it's such a low energy vibration, and it's very, very alluring. In the same way, when you're driving on the highway, you don't want to look, you know there's an accident, but you do, because it's just wired so deeply into our lizard brains.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that that energy is just being manipulated, you know, to turn us into war, a warring nation, you know, slaughtering other countries, and probably eventually they'll try to flip the switch and have us all kill each other, you know. I'm not advocating that, sorry, I didn't mean it that way, but I just feel helpless. I just think that we're being set up some way.
I don't disagree at all. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, too.
All right, I appreciate what you had to say. Mark makes excellent sense in a nonsensical context. You know, he's the video game thing. Okay, I know. And 80 years ago, we had the shoot 'em up dime novels. But no, there is a difference. There is a difference. There is definitely a difference. I have a 33-year-old son, and when he was a kid growing up, I was a single parent with him. His mother was available, but we had decided that he would, since she and I were divorced, that he would live mostly with me, and you know, have as much access to his mom as he wanted. She lived in the, you know, here in Atlanta. But I made a rule for me and for his mother that Chris would not have any sort of toy gun as a boy growing up. No water pistol, nothing. No cap gun. Yeah, they still had cap guns back then. None of the electronic guns that were just coming out that you could buy at FAO Schwarz. You pull the trigger and all the sparks come out. No gun, period. And I just absolutely forced that rule. I remember one Christmas when he was about 8, his mom inadvertently bought him a little sparkler gun. And when he unwrapped it for Christmas morning, I said, we're going to have to take that one back to your mom. And now, granted, he would pick up a stick in the backyard when he and his friends would play and turn it into a pretend rifle, which is fine. Use your imagination, kid. That's why you have it. But I forbade him to ever have a toy gun. And I think he turned out real well. With Molly, she's not allowed to watch television. She's allowed to watch movies on television, movies that, you know, we'll buy at Target or something for her, kid movies, the $5 bin. But the only thing that we let her watch on television that's real television is Jeopardy now. when we're with her, because Kathy and I'll sit there and watch Jeopardy some nights before we do final show prep, and we'll let Molly watch that. But we don't allow her to watch television, and we absolutely do not allow her to play these video games. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on a really miserable day because of the events in Aurora, California at midnight, early this morning. And that's what we've been talking about tonight. Back to your calls here in just a second. The number here is 877-996-2556. This is from Philip in San Diego. Subject is media coverage today. Philip writes, luckily for me, I've been doing my Rush Limbaugh impersonation today. I'm laid up having to take oxycodone for a painful ailment. So I've had all day to look at the coverage on MSNBC, hourly segment after hourly segment. They repeat the same things. Occasionally, I think once or twice all day, one person brought up the fact that the assault rifle was illegal until the ban was allowed to expire. Yeah, we know that. But how about getting some of these insane bastard Republicans that cower to the NRA on the air to explain themselves? Instead, they show Romney reading off a damn paper in response to death, like I give a rat's ass what he has to say. So the lack of real reporting, even on the leaning forward MSNBC, has been pissing me off today. After about an hour or two of it, the natural shock and sadness for the victims and families shifted to wondering why we as Americans have the cojones to wring our hands and feign sadness and surprise when we've sat back and watched as a good portion of this country, the stupid, the insane, well, the Republicans, cheer on Bush as we murdered families in Iraq. No one bats an eye when Palestinian families and children are blown to bits. There was no all-day coverage when Iraqis in Fallujah were burnt to a crisp with chemical weapons by our alleged liberating forces. No all-day coverage about innocent children being killed by drones. But let it happen here, and it is a national tragedy warranting all-day coverage laden with sadness from politicians who really couldn't give a damn. So while I am a compassionate man and I truly feel for the victims, and all affected part of me, and let's see, while I am a compassionate man and I truly feel for the victims and all affected part of me, oh well, cannot help thinking that we are just. That we are getting just a little bit of what we have dished out. I'm not sure what that sentence is supposed to be, Philip, but it's okay. He goes on, just a little bit. Multiply the dead and injured last night by a few hundred thousand over the past decade, and then all things may be even. The people in the theater experienced what those families in Fallujah or Baghdad felt as we were shocking and awing them out of their beds. For a long time now, I've said, I think it will take us experiencing what we have let our politicians and military do to other innocents in countries like Iraq until people really understand what it is like to live in terror. Until then, nothing is going to change, and the parade of stupid and insane people that put the stupid, who put the stupid and insane in positions of power will continue. I was going to call in, but you would have probably had to beat me because I have to use the word blank today. Philip in San Diego. No, it's a very disturbing email, and like Philip says at the very beginning, you know, he's taking Oxycontin, so a few structural problems there with some of the sentences, but I get it, you know, I do. I get what he was trying to say, and I'm sure you do, too. This hour is being sponsored by Kauai John. Now, somebody told me that the Hawaiian word, you don't pronounce it Kauai, but John said to pronounce it that way. So it's Kauai, right? Kauai. John said, pronounce it Kauai. Okay, so anyway, here's his message. After listening to Mike, do you find yourself needing more? Peter B. Collins is the fix you need. PeterBCollins.com. Tell him Cowhide John sent you. Peter and I used to be on the same IE America radio network, along with Tom Hartman and Peter Werby in Detroit. We were the four on the old IE America radio network. Oh, my God, that seems like a billion years ago. So good advice. PeterBCollins.com is the website. And thanks for the sponsorship, John. Back to your calls here. Jonathan is driving in Defiance, Ohio. Is that right?
Yes, sir. What I was calling about was the gentleman you just had to mention that the assault weapons ban, before the assault weapons ban went off, you couldn't have a rifle like that. That is completely wrong. The assault weapons ban was just simply a cosmetic thing. I've got four rifles myself from that banned era. Louis Gohmert also was right. I'm a former Marine, former police officer, and a deputized deputy sheriff right now. If I would have had a gun in that cinema that night, pistol or not, and I might have had body armor on or not, that would be a plus. Facts show that.
Wait. Just take a breath here a second, Jonathan. You're coming across like a moron. Just take a breath.
Okay.
Now, in the first place, you're a former Marine. Okay, you're a former cop. BFD, how many people in that theater? That theater had people in there. They had teenagers and kids and not people who are former Marines like you. Now, what Gohmert said, he didn't say if the theater had been filled with former Marines and police officers, they wouldn't know what to do. That's not what that half-witted fool said. What he said, Jonathan, was didn't anybody in the theater, what, a goddamn 14-year-old? Now, are you going to tell me, Jonathan, that somebody in that theater could shoot, and I don't think you could either, shoot through tear gas and into somebody that was fully armored? You may be a real ballsy X this and X that, that pal, but you're not ballsy enough that you're going to stand up in a theater when somebody is determined to wipe out 50 or 60 people and shoot them. You're not that good, Jonathan. You got a big mouth, but you're not that good.
Sir,
my ass. Go away, pal. Get off my radio program. Get off my radio program, you freak. Goddamn gun nut. I'm a former Marine, a former cop. Yeah, somebody should have had a gun. Jesus. Man. I would have killed him. I could have shot him. Just put me in a theater if I am some bitch that's come in with fully armored up and smoke grenades and tear gas and automatic rifles and 40 caliber handguns. Goddamn, I'll take him down in a minute. I'm big ass me. I'll take him down in a minute. That's right. Excuse me?
This is how we grow a fresh crop of Zimmermans. Now we'll just have these armed wannabes roaming movie theaters waiting to shoot somebody, maybe because they have the wrong candy bar or opened a pack of Skittles and they thought it was a gas canister.
Right. Well, you know, it just never fails to amaze me, people like this last caller said, well, you know, I'm a former this and a former that. That doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. In a theater, some freak is going to... No, never mind. I don't want to get into it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Anyone will shoot me. Oh, will he ever learn? No, he never will learn. With our fate, he's unconcerned. He'll abide forever by our right to bear. Uzi's, he's a man who never will learn. Georgie's one loving minion, always greet him when he visits, and they give him a dollar or two. And because of all the loopholes they have given Georgie millions, it's insane, but sadly it's true. Oh, will he ever learn? No, he never will learn. With our fate, he's unconcerned. He will...
illegal substance, no abuse.
The hour. I know people who have had the misfortune of being in combat situations, and I have been told that cowboys like this guy that just called in from Defiance, I guess Defiance, Ohio, they're usually the first one to get iced. You know, you go into a combat zone with that attitude, your ass is going to be shot the second you get off the helicopter and step into the jungle, you're gone. I'm a former Marine. I would have shot him. Yeah, sure you would have. Susan in Squim, Washington, looked it up, and 123 people in the United States die every day because of lack of health insurance. Every day. Why, with no disrespect to these families that are suffering through the impossible tonight, why not have MSNBC or CNN or any network devote an entire wall-to-wall broadcast day without let-up to the 123 people that are murdered every single day in this country by the health insurance industry? Why not? Why not? It's not flashy enough. I guess putting a camera on someone dying of pancreatic cancer is not as flashy as showing people who are completely freaked out, and rightly so, because they sent their family member to a movie screening, and now there's a chance that family member's dead. That makes for much better television, doesn't it? Somebody shrieking and crying their guts out because they're terrified of what has happened. Why don't you take the camera into a cancer ward or into a ward where somebody is dying of diabetes because the so-called health insurance industry in this country has decided, nah, we're not going to let you have that procedure. No, I'm sorry. No, that medicine's too expensive. No, I'm sorry, you can't have that. 123 times a day. People who cannot afford, either can't afford health insurance or have a policy that just denies everything that is necessary to that person's survival. 123 people a day. How many is that a year? That's a lot, isn't it? From a truth seeker in Portsmouth, Virginia, Mike, this country is based on slavery and genocide from the very beginning. If another group of people have something we want, we take it because it belongs to us. We deserve it. We stole every square inch of this land from the Indians and murdered millions to get it. We used slaves to work for us because the Bible told us they were made to be our servants, to make us rich. Every war we have ever been in since 1898 has been to take from others. As Smedley Butler said, war is a racket. The way to get it all is to use weapons to kill. This country makes me sick. Under the subject line, guns. From William, Mike, I've been trying to call, so I'll put my thoughts here. We've always been a violent country, no doubt. I can only speak from my age group, being close to 64. I went to school and shows and all sorts of events and never had a concern about being shot or stabbed. It just seemed to be never a concern. Other than the school bullies, I have no idea what has happened to this country on this sort of level of insanity. We had serial killers and still do, but this random act of some deranged madman opening fire in a classroom or military base or now a theater leads me to feel there's something now out of control more than ever before. I don't know what it is or how to begin to place it. All I can say is guns are everywhere for anyone who wants one, legal or bought out of the back of a truck or a car. Is it just hate or displaced anger out of control, or someone seeking some sort of control, or just a sick headline? I really don't know what to think. William in Hollywood. And from Stephen in Burbank, subject not mentioned, Stephen writes, "Hi, Mike, people taking arms and slaughtering the innocent seems to be seen as a problem. It's a symptom of a problem. A society that allows a system to run roughshod over anything that's decent. A society that produces nothing but anxiety and fear. A society that says, get tough or die, is also a society that just shrugs off these kind of happenings. Nobody here needs to be surprised." Stephen from Burbank. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Program. This hour is being sponsored by Kauai John in Hawaii. He writes, "After listening to Mike, do you find yourself needing more? Peter B. Collins is the fix you need. PeterBCollins.com. Tell him Kauai John sent you." Thanks, John. Appreciate it very much. Back to your calls. Mark is in San Francisco listening online.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to compliment you on your church tonight. It was excellent.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the best shows I've ever heard on radio. It was great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And what I liked about it was, you know, you even went to Scripture. You called out these Republicans for, you know, basically willing to kill Americans for health care. And it was just great. You don't hear that anywhere, Mike.
Well, you know, it's a sad commentary when you get right down to it. I can't believe I live someplace where that kind of hypocrisy is put out by religious people. I just can't. It's just stunning.
You know, Mike, I think we're in for more violence, and I think it's basically coming from, a lot of it is going to come from the Limbaughs and the Bachmans and hate radio. They've been ginning up the hate to a higher level than before. Bachman's really taken it to a new level. I heard she accused Keith Ellison of being something to do with the Brotherhood of Muslims or whatever that group is.
Well, you know things are getting bad for Bachman when John Boehner tells her to sit down and shut up. When John McCain comes to the defense of this of the woman, Hillary Clinton's aide, who happens to be, I guess, Muslim, comes to her defense because of the things that Bachman is saying. Bachman is insane. You know, that's tossed around a lot. Well, she's crazy. He's crazy. Well, they're insane. Bachman is legitimately paranoid schizophrenic, as far as I'm concerned. No, I'm not a psychiatrist. No, I'm not a psychologist. But I'm not a weatherman either, and I can tell you which way the wind is blowing. Just put me outside. So, you know, we've got a number of people like this in the U.S. House and Senate, and they're all Republican. And as far as media people are concerned, right-wing hate speech people, they just want to see blood in the streets. That's all they want to see, Mark.
You're absolutely right, Mike.
It's entertainment.
They're determined to get it. You can hear them now. The Republican Party has nothing to run on. They basically have nothing to show for, you know, except for failure, bad economy, two wars, a president that was a war criminal. Dick Cheney, who's another war criminal. They've got nothing to offer this country. So they want their power. They want their tax havens. They want to rewrite the tax code so they can gouge us more. This party's, they're out to really destroy this country. And they'll go to any lengths, Mike. And this hate radio, it's going to be taken to a whole new level.
The thing I don't understand is these people that you're talking about, whether they're the right-wing politicians or the corporatists or the hate radio types, why bother doing this? Is it for the same reason that a dog licks his privates because they can? I mean, why do this? Why not just fold up their tents? They're all wealthy. Fold up their tents and go spend the rest of their miserable lives sitting on a beach someplace or up in the mountains. Why do they stay here and run their filthy radio shows or their filthy political campaigns or their filthy approach to religion? Why don't they just pack up and go someplace else where they'd be happy? What is it they're looking for? Well, the answer is I think they want to see death and destruction. They're not going to be happy until they see it.
And, you know, Mike, the way that things are going right now and what I'm hearing, I heard Beck the other day, he brought Bachman on. And we have these kind of people on the airwaves. There's no surprise that violence is in this country, and it's in the air.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, like you say. You know, why? You know, they have everything. Most of these guys are millionaires. I can't explain it. I mean, it's got to be a sickness. They have to be sick to do this to the country and to people. For what? More money? So they don't have to pay taxes? I don't know. But it's a sick. It's a sick situation in this country to have these kind of people that have this much ability to get on the airwaves and screw out the hate they do, Mike.
I know.
It's really sad, and I really fear for our country the way things are going. This one party, this GOP party, they have Mitt Romney, and all he wants to do is, the reason why he won't give us the tax returns, one reason is he doesn't want to show how they don't have to pay taxes, how they basically turn their back on the country. They don't want to pay nothing. They want us to pay for everything. And they're willing to go and put a Ryan budget on there. That's going to give them even more of an ability to gouge us.
Yep.
It's really unbelievable. It really is. It's a sad state of affairs. And I just think, Mike, if these guys ever gain power, sooner or later, boy, I think there'll be such a rebellion against it. It'd be unbelievable.
I hear you. All right. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate your call. Take care. Charlie's in San Antonio listening on XM. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
It's been a couple of years since I called you.
Uh-oh.
You're always an oasis in just what has become more crazy. But anyway, the reason I called, Oprah was sued for making a disparaging remark against the beef industry. Limbaugh railed against this movie for the past week, and surely the makers of this movie were expecting a blockbuster box office for this weekend. If they don't make it this weekend, they're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to sue him? You know, and I don't know how much closer we can get to the Supreme Court decision that actually said that free speech is not yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
You know, I don't know how much, I don't know. It's just, and of course with this Fast and Furious thing, you've got all these right wing, gun crazies. And I've owned guns. I'm a veteran. I'm not against, Second Amendment, but they've just gone, you know, they're foaming at the mouth crazy with this Fast and Furious business about how the brown people in the South are conspiring with the black people in this country to take the white people's guns away, and somehow that story sold. It didn't sell, I guess, when Charles Manson tried to sell it as Helter Skelter,
right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's practically the same conspiracy nut thing that they're trying to start some kind of race war to take away guns from folks in this country, and how they twisted it into that kind of craziness. And again, the last guy who had that conspiracy notion went to jail over it. And I think fewer people died when he did it.
Well, you know, as far as the Second Amendment, Charlie, I'm all for people interpreting that amendment as the right to keep and bear arms. Just do it like this. That amendment, when that amendment was written, of course, we used muzzle loaders or muskets.
Sure.
And I don't know if you've ever fired one of those. I have.
No, I haven't fired.
And a friend of mine had a couple that he had bought. They were reproductions. They weren't antiques. They were reproductions. But I'll tell you, when you pour black powder in, and then you take this long piece of metal and stuff it down the barrel, and then you pull the hammer back and then you put the ball that you're going to shoot, that goes down, and then you put a firing cap on where the hammer is going to hit the, I forget what the hell the pieces are called, and then you go ahead and take your shot, and you can hear those things. You know how a bullet, you really don't hear a bullet, but those old mini balls, I guess they were called, you can hear those things, and they're scary as hell. You know, you fire, it goes click,
sure,
bam, and there's a pause, there's a click, bam, bee! And sure, it just scared the bejesus out of you. But you know how long it takes to fire one and then to load it? So here's what I would suggest. Anybody who wants to keep and bear arms, by God, go ahead. But it has to be a musket. It has to be one of those that they were using when they wrote the Second Amendment. I have no problem with it.
Well, and arms isn't necessarily guns, right? I mean, for instance, the intent of the Second Amendment was a militia. Really, that was the basis of the intent of the amendment.
Well, to me, that's how it reads to me.
Sure, and actually, this is kind of sidetracked a little bit, but let's say that we'd had the actual constitutional intent, and forget guns. If we'd had, let's say, a federal aviation militia on 9/11, if you want to buy the story on 9/11, and we'd had, let's say, militia, federal aviation, qualified licensed militia members on the airplane with a stun weapon, 9/11, as we've been told, could not have happened. And we wouldn't need all the scanners and all the other crazy security garbage we go through. We would have our militia trained, to pick up their stun weapon when they board the plane. In other words, the militia had an intent. It was to protect the citizens.
Yeah. And the militia was the citizens. Hey, Charlie, I got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. I appreciate what you had to say. Thanks a lot, Charlie. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This hour has been sponsored by Kauai John from Hawaii. His message, after listening to Mike, do you find yourself needing more? Peter B. Collins is the fix you need. His website, peterbcollins.com. Tell him Kauai John sent you. Thanks, John. Appreciate the sponsorship and nice plug for Peter. All right. A couple of combat veterans have written in now regarding, the former Marine, former cop who's going to just shoot everybody in the theater. Malachi in Saskatoon. You know, I spent 11 years in the Canadian Forces. I even started out as an infantryman. I don't think I could hit jack squat in a dark, tear gas-filled movie theater with people screaming and running every which way. And from Bill, who's 20 years Navy aviator, including NAM, He says, first thing I would have done, were I there, is grabbed a hold of the two folks closest to me and crammed them under the seats. Signed, an Am vet named Bill. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when I hear people call in with that, you know, well, God damn, I was former this and former that. You know what I would have done. Those are the people who go into a combat zone and never come back. And I think we all know that. I think a real combat veteran understands that. You're just always so brave once you get back, right? Frank in Colorado writes, Mike, thanks so much for giving the ex-Marine and ex-cop a reality check. He reminds me so much of my neighbor who's so wrapped up in himself that he never needs blankets. I like that. He's so wrapped up in himself, he never needs blankets. I have to remember that. A while back, he began haranguing me for stepping on his unfenced property. I didn't. Anyhow, during our unpleasant dialogue, I finally called him a bigot, to which he replied, well, you know, the Constitution allows me to be a bigot. Wow, what a slam dunk. The Constitution gave him the right to be a bigot. Wow, how lucky this right-wing, Christian, super-patriotic, self-proclaimed bigot has the Constitution. But I'm not entirely innocent either. Sporting a beard and wearing Birkenstocks probably does not place me very high in his eyes. Frank in Colorado. Oh, crazy, crazy. Jim is in Las Vegas.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing great. Turn your radio down.
I have it down.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
With the 71 people getting shot, if they would have had just a six shooter, he would have had reload like 12 times.
That's true. Hey, Jim, you have to turn the radio all the way down. We're getting feedback from your radio, and we just can't do that. Can you turn it all the way down?
Yeah, it's off.
It's off?
Yeah.
All right, well, wait a second. I'm getting some I'm getting some echo back through here then. As a matter of fact, Jim, why don't you hang up and try to call in again? Because it's just feeding right back of what we're saying, what both of us are saying. I'm sorry, but sometimes that happens. Greg is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello, Greg.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm excellent, brother. I've talked to you several times, and I really, you know, I don't really claim to be very intelligent. I'm just more like Einstein by being passionately curious. And I'm very curious about what would be, because I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe there's a law that you can enact that will prevent, slow down, or even stop psychopathology.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about that. Some people are just going to do crazy stuff, and that's just all of it to it.
Right.
However, I also don't think, and I could easily be wrong, let me preface, but I also don't think that there's a law that you can enact to ban guns from normal citizens that will stop crazy people. So I have to ask you, because I have an idea, but I'm going to ask you because I think you're smarter than me. So here's my question. How would it work if there was a law that said, okay, we're not going to ban your guns. You can be the camo nut with 60,000 military-level instruments in his home. Not that it'll matter because they got drones that can take his eye out in his living room while he's sitting there watching television. But if you want to have as many guns or as few guns as you want, that's neither here nor there. However, if you commit any crime, jaywalking with a gun, you get a certain amount of time. If you nick somebody, if you hit them in the head with a pistol, you get another set of locked years. But if you injure somebody with a pistol where the propellant from the gun hits them in any part of their body, you get life without parole. If you kill them, it's automatic death sentence. I think if the penalties for gun usage in a criminal manner was stronger, I think that would be more of a deterrent for just the everyday, you know, everyday shooter or crazy person or gangbanger or thug or a guy who wants to shoot his girlfriend because she's dating somebody else. I mean, I think that crime could be cut down to virtually nothing, and people knew, wait a minute, if I even have this gun on me and I rob a store, if I have a gun on me and I fight somebody and they find out I had a gun on me, I could do 20 years. I think that makes more sense than trying to stop people from doing what they're going to do, even with the law. Prohibition just doesn't work in any level, alcohol, drugs, any of that stuff. I mean, so am I crazy or what?
Please. No, you're not crazy, Greg, and we're out of time. It's I don't know what the solution is. Your idea may be the solution. I don't know. I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to give up on the gun issue. Hey, listen, I got to leave it there, pal. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. I'll see you Monday, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy.